I'm going to say that again for my podcast. The scripture comes from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. If you have the order of worship, you can follow along. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept the Spirit, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So today's sermon, I want to talk about this passage in John 14. And there's too much to say, so I'm going to focus on something very specific. Three times in this passage, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." Right? Three different times. In other parts of Scripture, Jesus will reiterate this even more. When the disciples say, "Why are you going to share your love with us but not the world?" Jesus says, "If you love me, you all will obey my commands. And that's how the world will know." Right? That's how it will experience my love. So if we love Jesus, We'll live like Jesus. We'll live how he lived, and we'll do what he asks of us. This seems somewhat simple, but it's not, and I want to unpack it a little bit. Number one, love does not mean how I feel. So I think we need to get over this as Christians, right? There's a sense in which I love my wife, and part of that is my affection, how I feel, my attraction. That's what differentiates the way I love her from the way I might love a friend or something, right? I get that. But when Jesus talks about like agape love, it's a moral call that transcends how I feel. It's about how I treat other people, how I live my life, right? Love as like this moral imperative that says even when you don't like someone, even your enemy, you can love them by how you respect them, how you treat them, the grace you extend to them. So love is sort of a moral call. And for much of my life, I tried to figure out how do I love God? And this notion of obeying what Jesus commands loomed large for me. So like loving God meant I have to do all the right things. Like I got to do all the right stuff. And Christians have fixated on this. Don't make a misstep, right? Don't drink or chew or run with girls that do. Make sure that you are on the straight and narrow. This is sort of like, that's what it means, right? We get into almost like this Old Testament, this Pharisee mentality of keeping every jot and tittle, like the law. But this is missing the point, right? If I want to love God, I should obey God's commands. Great. I need to live a certain way. Side note, Jesus does not say, hear this, people. Jesus does not say, if you love me, have all the right beliefs. Jesus does not say, if you love me, make sure you believe the Bible is inerrant. If you want to love me, make sure that you're once saved, always saved. That's got to be your belief. You better dunk people when you baptize them. If you love me, make sure that you advocate Wesleyan theology and free will. Jesus doesn't say any of that. If you love me, obey my commands. Okay? It's what we do. I think we've been, I have to have all the right beliefs. I've got to have the right theology to love God well. False. False. Jesus doesn't tell his disciples, believe X, Y, and Z. He says, follow me. Come do what I do and we'll become fishers of men, right? It's this journey of following Jesus. So if I love Jesus, I'll obey his commands. And here's the key. What's the greatest commandment? And I'm not going to be able to hear you. Can I get an amen? Amen. No, you guys will, right? But you know it, right? The greatest commandment, I'm going to read it to you. It's mentioned in every gospel, but I'm going to read it out of Matthew 22, right? Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets, all of it, hang on these commands. So I need to love God and love my neighbor. Jesus says, if you want to love me, God, if you want to love that, love your neighbor. Do what I do. Extend grace. Extend compassion. Extend hospitality. When I love my neighbor, I love God. Right? When I love my neighbor, I love God. That's how I do it. When we follow in the way of Jesus, we are showing God our love through what we do. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We're going to be far from it. It means we're going to be filled with grace for ourselves and for other people. But this is the tangible way we love. We get so caught up in knowing the capital T truth and having the right beliefs that we neglect the largest way in which we show Jesus our love, which is to care for each other, right? Even more neglected than that, right? So I've heard so many sermons about loving your neighbor. I'm sure you have too. So many, right? This is the great command. And we better do. I better be like feeding the homeless on Monday and moving someone into a house on Tuesday and like giving away my clothes on Thursday. And if I don't, then there's a problem, right? So we just overemphasize the amount that we're supposed to do to make this work. And there's this little piece of this logic about loving God means loving our neighbor, right? There's this little piece that we totally neglect. I'm supposed to love my neighbor as I love myself. There's a completely assumed component of this that is you actually need to love yourself. And since you're a child of God, when you love yourself, you love God. Jesus commands you to do it. When you love yourself, that's a way in which you show your love for Christ. Think of it this way. We are all children of God. We are all created in the image of God. When you love a child of God, you love God. You want to love Joe Bankard? Treat my children well. Do you want to show me your love? Treat my children well. You want to show God love? Treat God's children well. And do you know who's a child of God? You. You know what we're really bad at? Figuring out how to love ourselves. So we're going to talk about that. That's where the focus is today. What does it mean to love myself as a child of God? And in so doing, I show Jesus love, right? And I think we have a lot of misconceptions about what it would mean to love ourselves. I'll say one more thing and then we're going to try something interesting. We're going to break into some groups, right? The one thing I will say is if you do not learn how to love yourself well, then everything you do for other people tends to have a kind of selfish bent to it. If I don't learn how to love myself well, then all the things I do are trying to make myself feel worthy of love. So I'm not really loving my neighbor. I'm doing things for them so that I cover up my own insecurity, my own lack of self-worth. I'm not worth anything unless I'm doing something for other people. Some of you fit that bill, yes? I better do things for other people so that I can feel good enough, so that I can fill some void. But if I learn how to love myself well, like deeply, then I can love people out of the fullness of my heart, not from its lack, not from its wound. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to see how it works. We're going to need your grace. I don't even know. We've never done it before. We're going to break you into these small groups. You're going to be timed. So like literally after 5 or 6 minutes, it'll just bring you back to the whole group mid-sentence, right? So I need you to share like for 1 minute and then make sure people get a chance to share. But my congregational question is, what is one way we might learn to love ourselves well? Have you ever seen someone do this well? Or what could you do now? What's a challenge for yourself? Here's what I need to do to love myself well, right? So think about that question and then share with each other. So when you get into your groups, you'll need to unmute yourself. And then you'll sort of like, we'll come back together within about 5 minutes or so. And we'll share a little bit. We good? Let's try it. You good, Jenny?
Okay, so what this looks like on my screen is that Zoom automatically puts everybody into breakout rooms of 4 or 5 each. And hopefully you can all unmute yourself once you're in there. I guess since I'm in a room, I'll see if this actually works.
Yes.
Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm opening the rooms. Here we go.
Are you guys unmuted? Oh, cool.
Just unmuted.
It worked.
Unmuted, I think.
All right. So that's cool. So are there any thoughts in terms of learning how, like something to love ourselves well?
You're hitting all the, like, All the hard stuff. Do you have anything, Josh, that you immediately thought of?
Taking the time to rest is the first thing.
Josh's immediate response is taking time to really rest. That's his big thing.
Yes. So for me, I tend to find value in doing things and being productive. But it's not real because what I'm trying to do often is to get a sense of affirmation or like I'm good. So to me, loving myself is breaking from that. But other people, I think, maybe don't struggle in the same way and they would love themselves by doing something different. So I'm curious, anybody else?
Yeah.
I think for me, loving myself is forgiving myself. Hmm. I have a hard time with that.
So you're hard on yourself, like if you screw up or something happens, you just like, ah.
Yes, and to the point of it's ridiculous.
Hmm.
I'm much more forgiving of other people than I am of myself.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Like extending grace to other people is easy. Like, oh, well, I'm sure they were tired or, you know, they were just in a rush or, but then when it's you, it's like no grace at all. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No excuse for that behavior or what I said or whatever it is.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good.
I think it's self-compassion. I think sometimes it's easier to show compassion to others than to ourselves.
Why is that? This is what's bizarre to me, right? Like, we paint humans as like these selfish creatures who are like always doing, and yet most people I think would say the same thing, like, oh yeah, I have compassion for other people, but not myself. What makes it so hard, I wonder, to do that, like psychologically or spiritually?
We're just so hard on ourselves, or a lot of us are anyway.
Yeah.
I think some of it is that you don't always know other people's stories, so you It's easy to say, I don't know why they did that. But you know your own story. So you expect more out of yourself. You know, you can't say, oh, I've had such a horrible life. I haven't had a horrible life. Why can't I behave myself?
No, but that I know all my thoughts, and so it's like, man, I'm kind of a messed up guy. Like I'm mean. I have all kind, you know, I know all the things I've thought and done. So when other people's stories are not, I don't have access to them, it's easier for me to like read best motives or whatever.
I feel like there's like a little bit of ownership that we're kind of talking about. So like I don't know how really to explain it except for that, like, everything that goes on in here, even if it's not actually what we really want to like meditate on or think on or keep in here, like it still happened. And so we tend to take ownership of all of those things, like all of our actions. And, like ownership is good, but self-deprecation is not. Hmm. And that's where I really connected with you guys when you were talking about just how hard you are on yourself and how hard it is to forgive yourself. Like 2 nights ago, I had a moment like that. Like I had a little tiny screw up and it affected my entire day the next day because I felt so incapable and it was really weird and it shouldn't be that way. Like there needs to be more grace.
Hmm. So here, let me pose this too. I wonder if we change the stories we tell ourselves, if that would help. Oh, 5 seconds. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here it goes.
No, we'll go back.
Okay. It says time remaining 0. So I just wanted to give you that. I didn't want you to like...
No, that's good. I'm wondering if we can... So can we leave breakup? Oh, no, there it is. Oh, cool.
Oh.
Experience.
If you would, we're back, everybody. So if you would mute yourself, and we'll mute you too. How's that?
Hey Joe, can I share one thing?
Absolutely. No, that worked great. Hold on, real fast, Dre. Wow, Jenny, great job. That was cool, man. Yeah, it was awesome. Oh man, I thought that was going to be a total disaster. If I'm honest, that was great. That worked so well. All right, Dre, what do you got, buddy?
I was just going to share, if people are interested in that mindfulness breathing stuff, I think you know this as well. I have that YouTube channel that I made a while back called The Calming Christian, and it has a variety of guided prayers, guided Christian meditations, progressive muscle relaxation. And
so if you send me, I'll put it on our Facebook page and I'll email it out so then people can access it. That would be great. Yeah, just send it to me. Send me the link.
Sure.
There's Dre.
Whoops.
Well, that's great. It looks like people are coming back.
We're back.
That was interesting.
All right. Well, Jenny, if you want to make sure everyone's muted, I will continue. And I can't really get all of the wonderful feedback from all of the groups, but I'm sure that it was edifying to you. What I want to talk about a little bit in terms of self-love, we'll touch on, I'm guessing, what you shared in your groups, and that is that it seems easy to love yourself. It feels like this would be a simple task, and I would argue, like anything that is meaningful and important, it's hard. It's going to challenge you to do what is difficult, and for some of you, what is really difficult is motivating yourself, getting up, caring for yourself, drawing boundaries. But for others of you, what's really hard for you is that you're working too much and you're engaged too much and you need to take a break. But knowing what you need and how to do that is so difficult. Loving yourself is not, well, just do whatever makes you happy, right? Loving yourself is not this. I'm going to show you a video clip of one of my favorite shows from Parks and Rec. This is not what I mean when I say love yourself.
Tell on T-Mobile.
Three words for you. Treat yourself. Once a year, Donna and I spend a day treating ourselves. What do we treat ourselves to?
Clothes.
Treat yourself.
Massages.
Treat yourself.
Fine leather goods.
Treat yourself.
It's the best day of the year.
The best day of the year? The point of this is to pamper yourself. It's a one day a year I allow myself to be selfish.
Ooh, cupcakes.
Those are all for me, Terry.
I would like three big-ass diamonds surrounded by their own set of tiny-ass diamonds.
Welcome to Nirvana, the Plaza at Eagleton.
Needles in your face, pleasure in your face.
All the sushi is made from fish previously owned by celebrities.
This is Peter Bogdanovich's saltwater eel.
Mmm, Bogdana, delish.
If you could blow big money on one thing, what would it be? In Beverly Hills.
I really want this dress, and I like this crystal beetle.
Cashmere socks, velvet pants.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
This is insane.
You're gonna treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
I'm gonna treat myself.
Treat yourself.
I'm gonna go ahead and treat myself. It's the best day of the year.
All right. Well, that is not what I mean by loving yourself. I don't mean treat yourself, right? Now, some of you, loving yourself is taking a break. It is taking a vacation. It is relaxing. I'm not saying that. But we often picture loving myself as something like that. And I'm suggesting it is this difficult call, this very difficult challenge to do what is in your best interest. To help you become more the person that God is calling you to be. So I really believe to love yourself well is to care about your diet. It is to care about your sleep. It is to care about the boundaries you draw at work, with your spouse, with those that don't treat you well. Loving yourself is drawing boundaries and not allowing yourself to be treated in those ways. That loving yourself is the hard work of taking the patterns and habits that you have right now in your life that don't help you become the person God wants you to be, and replacing them with patterns and habits to help you become the person God wants you to be. That's how you love yourself. By doing that, it equips you to love other people. It equips you to love your neighbor. It equips you to love God, right? One of the first patterns and habits I think most of us need to change is have grace for yourself. Everything about being Christian, everything about the story of God starts and ends with grace, compassion. Change the story you tell yourself about how bad you are, how inept you are, how untalented you are, how unlovable you are. Replace that story with the story that God is telling about a wonderful child created in God's image with gifts and graces. Have the grace for yourself that you extend to other people. Right? Start to love yourself in that, to bask in God's love and grace for you so that you know you're worthy and that you know you're loved. And then that allows you to say, I'm not going to be taken advantage of at work. I'm going to draw a boundary. I'm not going to let my coworker take advantage of me anymore. I'm not going to sleep in until 10 a.m. and not get my work done because that doesn't help me. I'm not going to eat the second piece of chocolate cake because I know how I'm going to feel. Loving yourself is starting to create those habits that equip you to be the agent that God needs in the world. So it's not just about pampering yourself. It's really about learning how to do the hard work, right? But if you don't, if I don't, if we don't, we can't love our neighbor. Not really. Not well. Right? And so, so my prayer for us is that this week you think about one way you can make difficult choices to really prioritize your life, your well-being, your health, so that you can be the person that God needs you to be in the world for others. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that the greatest commandment, the one that all of the law and all of the prophets hang on, includes loving ourselves. Lord, that you know human beings so well, and you know that at every moment we are tearing ourselves down mentally, that the stories we tell ourselves are not stories of grace, but of judgment. Oh, we extend grace to others, but not ourselves, Lord, and you remind us, if you love me, Joe, learn how to love yourself. That's not selfish. That's not wrong. That, Lord, you want what's best for us. You want habits that keep us healthy, that keep us safe, that equip us to love other people. So help us to take this seriously, Lord, and to love ourselves. Amen. If you would please join for our closing song.